today that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried rose again, you're going to spend eternity with each other. So you might as well look around, you might as well get to know each other, you might as well get to enjoy yourself, because we're going to spend eternity with each other. Amen? Amen. That's a great thing. After Brother Steve Tackett, his message is Why I'm a Pauline Dispensationalist. That's a great title. Yeah, that is an awesome title. I met Steve and his brothers, I don't know if they remember, way back in the 90s, late 90s, in Pigeonport, Tennessee, at a conference, and it dawned on me, they traveled together, your three brothers, and they would come to the meetings down there, and it's like, and they're still here. And I know he's excited to have his family here, right? And they come in here, but Steve's message tonight, he's getting ready to come up as far as why am I a Pauline dispensationalist, and he also has a book over there. Oh, they're all gone. You got more? Online?
You can bring more, but they're online.
Okay. So, hey, that's a good thing. But I also would like you to visit Richard's table also over there. Don't let him go home with anything on that table. Those are valuable information that you can use in your home studies. You can give them for gifts, birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, you name it. You can have it over there, but you can't have it, but you know what I'm talking about. It's good for you to have. So with that being said, Brother Steve.
It's an honor and a privilege. And this is kind of overwhelming. I've never spoken to many people at once. Title of my message is Why Am I Dispensationalist? Why am I Pauline Dispensationalist? There's a difference. A lot of people are dispensational. Not everybody's Pauline dispensational. But I was not always a Pauline dispensationalist. I've been a Pauline dispensationalist for about 30 years now. But before that, I was a lot of other things. What I mean by that was, I started out as a Free Will Baptist. Then I was Pentecostal Holiness. Then I was Charismatic. Then I became an independent Baptist. Now I'm a Pauline dispensationalist. And I'm going to talk to you why that is. It was about 35 years ago that I realized that I was a lost sinner on my way to heaven. And I got this idea from watching Jimmy on TV and people like that, and listening to different people, that what I needed to do was, because I always believed the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't understand it, but I believed it was the Word of God. And I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for our sins. But I also believed that I had to give up all my bad habits, repent of my sin, beg Jesus to forgive me, and be water baptized and join the church. Now, if I did all that, I'll be okay. I had no idea at all that I did not have to do any of those things. In fact, I shouldn't have done any of those things. So let me just go ahead and get right into the message. Why am I a Pauline dispensationalist? And if you're wondering what a Pauline dispensationalist is, well, that's the same thing as a mid-Acts dispensationalist. You know what that is? That means we understand that the dispensation of grace started in the middle of the book of Acts with the Apostle Paul. So why am I a dispensationalist? I got seven reasons why I'm a dispensationalist. First of all, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. Well, let's just read verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you understand my knowledge, in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, we see the word dispensation there. And that word dispensation appears four times in your King James Bible. If your Bible doesn't have the word dispensation in it those four times, there's something wrong with your Bible.
That's right.
It needs to be a King James Bible. So the word dispensation is in the Bible. It's a Bible word. Okay? So because it's a Bible word, you need to understand what it's about. What does it mean? It says here in Ephesians 3 that something was revealed to the Apostle Paul that was not previously known. Okay? So, that gives you one of the characteristics of what a dispensational is. It's associated with something that is now revealed that was not previously known. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 10. Ephesians 1, verse 10. Then in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So what does that verse tell you? Verse tells you that a dispensation is something that is associated with a period of time when God is doing something different than he's doing now. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 17. Paul says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So, what we see here is that a dispensation is associated with what? The gospel. How you're saved. How you enter into a right relationship with God. So, looking at those three passages that we read together, what do we learn about a dispensation? It has to do with God revealing something that wasn't previously known. It has to do with a period of time where God is doing something or going to do something different later than he's doing now. So that helps you understand what a dispensation is. It's God dispensing information to man, becomes the basis for having a right relationship with God. Okay? That's why it's important to be dispensational, and more importantly, a Pauline dispensationalist. And what is the gospel, by the way? What is the gospel that Paul is dispensing? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. What does it say? Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. It's not repent and be baptized. It's not keep the law. It's not join something. It's not any of that stuff. It's you put your faith and trust in what Christ did for you on the cross.
Amen.
That's the gospel for today. Amen. So, but the first reason that I am a Pauline dispensationalist is because, first of all, the word dispensation is a Bible word. Now, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. Wouldn't you want to understand everything God is saying to us? Wouldn't you want to understand everything that the Bible is saying? You should. So, here you've got a word in the Bible, you need to understand it. You need to understand what it's about. We need to know what God is doing and when he's doing. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Second Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So, truth in the Bible, put it this way, not every truth in the Bible can be applied to today. If you have a dispensational understanding of the Bible, you can see that. Let me give you an example. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Why does he just say established in the truth? Why does he say in the present truth? Because not every truth can be applied to today in the dispensation of grace. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. "Wherefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Notice he says, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." See, that's a truth that is for the present time. It's not for time past. Remember, everything in the Bible is true, but we have to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, every truth is about today. The other reason that I am a Pauline dispensationalist is because not being a Pauline dispensationalist can be hazardous to your spiritual health. That's funny. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And I want you to look at verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, unto Christ, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, you remember what the gospel is? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Is there anything in there about keeping the law? Well, Jesus is telling somebody here to keep the commandments. He asked him, What shall I do to have eternal life? The answer is clear. Keep the commandments. What religion does is it takes all those religions that I used to be in, they try to take everything in the Bible and make it all say the same thing. You can't do that. That's dishonest, for one thing.
Right.
And it's following traditions. It's not really believing what the Bible says. But see, in religion, they don't practice right division, do they? They think, as the brother was saying earlier, they think right division is dividing truth from error. No, it's dividing truth from truth. Because not every truth is about today. You say, well, that was just, you know, it was just that one time Jesus said it, just that one time, and it really means something else. Matthew 23, look at Matthew 23. Just so you understand that in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're still in the dispensation of the law. You're not in the dispensation of grace.
That's right.
Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. What is Jesus telling his followers to do? Do whatever the scribes and Pharisees tell you to do. Again, what are they doing? Well, they're claiming to keep the law. But Jesus is telling his followers, do what they say. Is that the same as what Paul says? Look at Matthew 10. These are all the verses that I tried to apply to myself when I was in religion. When I was a Free Will Baptist and a Pentecostal and Charismatic, I tried to apply all these verses to me. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Jesus says, "And ye shall be hated of all men my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." I had that preached to me every Sunday. Every Sunday, the preacher got up there in the Free Will Baptist Church and told me I had to endure to the end. Being a Pauline dispensationalist allows you to take the Bible literally, but apply it in the correct way. Apply it in the correct dispensational context. So you don't have to make excuses and explain things away and pretend like it's not there, which is what religion does.
Right.
It doesn't talk about these verses, and when they do talk about it, they try to make it somehow fit with what Paul said. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Again, we're in Matthew 10. Matthew 10, look at verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." See? I can take the Bible literally and know I'm not Israel.
Right.
Jesus wasn't speaking to me. He was only speaking to Israel. He's only speaking to the 12 apostles, telling them only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not me. That's not you. So I can now take my Bible literally and understand it in the context in which it's written. Look at Romans 11. So Jesus is telling the 12 here in Matthew 10, only go to the Jews with the gospel of the kingdom. But we read in Romans chapter 11 something entirely different. Romans 11, and when I get there, it's going to be verse 13. Romans 11, verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles." So now we got an entirely different audience. "Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So Paul's an apostle that was sent only to Gentiles. The 12 were only sent to Israel. That's plain, isn't it? That's not complicated. It's simple, right? But it becomes complicated, and you have to be dishonest with the Bible and explain things away if you try to make it all say the same thing. Look at it again. Romans 15. Romans 15. You can't miss it. Unless you try. Romans 15, verse 16. Paul says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So, the Apostle Paul is the minister to the Gentiles. That's you and me. Paul is our apostle. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here's the other place where Paul uses the word dispensation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 says, "Where I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God." So, guess what? If the dispensations come from God, then that makes God a dispensationalist.
Amen.
Doesn't it? So when somebody tries to tell you that dispensationalism is something that was made up by man, what do you do with that verse? You got a word, dispensation, appears four times in your King James Bible, and tells you right there that dispensations come from God. So how can you say that's something that man made up? But, again, religion puts blinders on people. When you get involved in religion, you're going to get man's tradition. You're not going to get the clear teaching of the Scripture. You're not going to get it. And in most cases, you won't hear the gospel clearly presented. The other reason that I'm a Pauline dispensationalist is because it explains who I am in Christ. If I believe the gospel that Paul preached, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, then as a result of believing that, I am now in Christ. So I can understand who I am in Christ through Paul's letters. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know our identity. And the only way you're going to find out your true identity in Christ is to follow Paul's letters. He is our apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Now, I know what a lot of people say. They'll say, that means I quit drinking, I quit smoking, I quit cussing. Well, that's part of it. And what I mean by that is that when you realize who you are in Christ, He works inside you to change you from within. But you quitting your bad habits doesn't mean you're a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ means that you are no longer under the law and you're neither Jew nor Gentile. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." See, a new creature in Christ is what? He is crucified unto the world. And it says in verse 15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availed anything," that's the Jews, Israel, "nor uncircumcision," the Gentiles, "but a new creature." So if you're a new creature in Christ, you're neither a Jew or a Gentile anymore. You are a new creature in Christ. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him," with Christ, "that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For then he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the new creature being put into practice, being applied by faith. But look at Romans 7. Romans 7. And look at verse 6. Romans 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See, the way you're going to serve God is not by the law. You're not under the law any longer. You now serve him in newness of spirit. That's what being a new creature is. If you're in Christ, then you are that new creature, and you need to, by faith, apply that truth to your life as a new creature in Christ. The final thing I have is, again, to being a Pauline dispensationalist. And why I am a Pauline dispensationalist is the only way I'm going to understand my personal relationship with God. That's the only way I'm going to know that. Let me look at a couple of verses. Look at John 15, John chapter 15. For years I struggled with the assurance of my salvation. Because I believed the Bible, but I didn't understand it. I didn't know how to apply it to my life. And so I struggled with that, right? I always had that lingering doubt in my mind, am I still saved or not? You know, I did all the things that religion tells you to do. You know, you beg God for forgiveness, you give up all your bad habits, so you could be acceptable to God, right? John 15, John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says to his audience there, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I had that preached to me a lot. You know, if you don't have the fruit, you know, you can choose to not abide in Christ, and what happens to you? You're cast into the lake of fire. So you can choose not to abide in Christ. Well, let's compare that to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. You can decide to not abide in Christ anymore and be cast in the lake of fire. What does it say? You're sealed with a Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Another reference to the rapture. Look at it again. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, when you believe the gospel, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day that the Lord gives you that glorified body and you're resurrected and you don't sin anymore.
Amen.
So you don't have to worry about whether you're still abiding in Christ or not, or you've got enough fruit. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. You're sealed. You're there. Who can break the seal? Who has the power to do that? No one. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Who's doing the performing there? Christ is. Not you. You're not performing. That's the work of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation in Christ. And by the way, walking after the Spirit, this means you're a believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now I want you to compare that verse to Mark chapter 14. Look at Mark 14. Our Lord's in the garden, and he's praying to the Father, and he says in verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Jesus addresses God the Father as who? Abba. What does Paul say you and I do when we pray? We say, Abba, Father. What does that tell you? That close, intimate relationship that Jesus has with the Father, when he prays, you too, you have it too. When you pray, that's the kind of relationship. You are now a son, an adopted son of God. And you can say, Abba, Father, just like Jesus did. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you hear it? Do you hear the word of God? Do you understand it? For years, I believed the Bible. I believed this. You ask me, do you believe everything in the Bible? Yeah. I believe everything in the Bible. Didn't understand hardly anything. Until I learned rightly to buy the word of truth. Do you believe the right gospel? You know, if you're a Pauline dispensationalist, you can see what the right gospel is. you can see it clearly. If you're not, you may not see it so clearly. So, those are my reasons for being a Pauline dispensation. That's all I got. Let me close this with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you so much for this meeting and fellowship we have this weekend. Thank you for all the saints. Thank you for all the good messages we've heard. And we just pray that we continue to do everything to your honor and glory. In Christ's name.
Let's take about a 5-minute break and hear the music. Come on back in.
Noah, Jordan, and Noah, and then 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 No